It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 106.5. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome, 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 everyone. Welcome. Uh-oh. Welcome, 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 everyone, to the George Williams Show. So glad to be back with you. And I tell you what, we have a lot to talk about, folks. These Democrats have lost their minds. They really have. But we are glad for the Supreme Court and their decision. So we're going to be talking about that. We also have a special guest who will be calling in. And that guest will be talking to you about the upcoming state election, okay? And we're going to be talking about the local election, the mayoral election, and the city council election, Mobile, and other cities in Alabama. So just stand by, folks. Our number here is 251-343-0106. Now, you can also get us on our app. That's at fmtalk1065.com. That's fmtalk1065.com. And remember, while we're doing this show, we are also doing a podcast. So starting tomorrow morning, you can go on that app and hit the podcast and under my name on this date or any other Tuesday of our shows in the past, and you can listen to our show. It's easy. It's simple. Simple, simple, simple. All right, let's get started. We're going to get started with Dick Morris first because what he's saying is very important. And we'll talk about that a little, and then our guests will have our guest on. Here we go, Dick Morris, folks.
Trump's win before the Supreme Court, in which they ruled that one judge could not issue a nationwide injunction if the judge is just a district court judge, was so important. As it turns out, there were five judges out of 300 or 400 or 500 in the United States who've been issuing all of these injunctions that basically stopped Trump from implementing the will of the people. Now that power is gone and the door is open for tremendous new change. First of all, Trump will now be able to cut off funding for sanctuary cities if they continue their policy of sheltering illegals and not allowing federal officials to do their job. Secondly, Trump's proposal to demand voter ID in all U.S. elections so that we will not have a flood of illegal votes can now move ahead. $3 trillion of federal funding that Elon Musk froze is now going to be rescinded. Public school DEI programs, the diversity, equity, and inclusion, will now be banned. Taxpayer funding of transgender surgery will be banned. And the cuts he made in USAID, US foreign aid, will be allowed to continue. These are vital programs that Trump implemented by executive order early in his term, and a group of five judges acting independently throughout the whole country were able to stymie him, but no more. And now we're in for some very good changes. Thank you.
All right, folks, Dick Morris, and a couple of things that he highlighted, folks, and we're going to look at this right now, okay? District judges. Why do you think they call them district judges? There are 500 and some district judges. They're federal judges with a lifetime, actually promotion to district judge. And they don't have to run for office like our state judges do, okay? So they are district judges. When they make a ruling, it's not for the whole country, American-wide. It's for their district. And that's what the Supreme Court says. So we're proud of that. And like Dick Morris said, mainly five Democratic judges, district judges, that made those rulings. And now those rulings that they made, they're out. Okay? So President Trump can get started and do what he said he was going to do in order to make America great again. So we're very, very proud of that. And what I really like, and in my opinion, this is what the Democrats, why the Democrats want all of those illegals in America, okay? Now, I could tell you, in New Jersey, where I grew up from the age of 10, when I left South L.A., Lower Alabama, to go to New Jersey, my mother, father, and their eight children, it was a red state. And how did it become a blue state? Well, in my opinion, it became a blue state because they don't require voter ID, okay? And you take a place like Paterson, New Jersey, where I grew up, well, folks, there are a lot of foreigners there, a lot of foreigners in Newark, New Jersey. Same way with Massachusetts, New York, it was a red state, Massachusetts, all those states were red states. And all of these foreigners came in, okay? And they were allowed to vote because they don't have voter ID. Now, the Constitution says you must be a U.S. citizen to vote. You must be. So these Democrats think they're slick. They're not slick. They're not slick. So hurry up, President Trump, and make sure we get that executive order that only American citizens are allowed to vote in any election in these United States of America. I think that's very important. As I was speaking to one of my buddies, high school buddies, who was the chairman of the Alabama Democratic Party about a year ago, and I asked him, I said, what do you think about the no ID to vote? He said, oh, that we need that. We need that, okay? And I was just getting a phone call while I was on the air on my cell phone from our guest. So, okay, now she's calling. Okay, we're gonna take that call. Philip, how much time we have before the?
2.5 minutes.
A half a minute. Okay.
2.5.
So 2.5 minutes. All right, we're going to bring her on, and then we'll continue this conversation, folks, because I think it's very important, okay? All right, let's bring our guest on, Philip. All right. Ms. Dobson, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Folks, this is Caroline Dobson, and she is no stranger to our show and for South Alabama, because she was a candidate for District 2 congressional race. So we're so glad to have you back. Now you are a candidate for another office.
That's right. Last week I announced my candidacy for the office of Secretary of State.
Okay.
And last year I became even more impassioned about trying to serve the people of this state and even more aware of the importance of election integrity in this state. We've certainly been moving in the right direction with respect to the anti-ballot harvesting bill that passed the legislature in 2024. Just in the past month, last month in June, Wes Allen announced that there'll be that our ballots will have watermarks, distinctive watermarks. So we've had a lot of progress made, but there's still so much that we can do to ensure that Alabama's elections are safe and secure, because I understand as a mother that without secure elections, my daughters, your kids, your grandkids won't grow up in the same country that we did. And so it's important to have great laws on the books, but there's always room to improve the enforcement of those laws.
Right. Now you know I like to pick your mind and see What do you think you can do as the new Secretary of State that will improve the voter situation and other different things that you're responsible for doing as Secretary of State?
Well, we are really lucky, Alabama is, to have some of the finest law enforcement officers and prosecutors in the country. And I cannot have more respect, especially in Mobile, for your district attorney, Keith Blackwood, Sheriff Paul Birch, truly some really fine people.
All right. I'm going to have to stop you. We're going into our first break. So if you could stand by until after, and we'll continue this conversation, okay?
Will do.
All right, folks, we're on with Ms. Caroline Dobson. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. And we are on a mission. Our number here is 251-343-0106. And our special guest is Ms. Caroline Dobson, and she is our current candidate for Secretary of State. Caroline, we really appreciate you coming on.
Yes, no, thank you so much for having me. It's a privilege to be with you. I'm so grateful for conservative voices like yours and for this station.
We
have such wonderful voices like yours.
Thank you. You can continue from where before we
yes,
went on the
yes.
break.
Well, you know, what we were discussing was some plans that I have to bring to the Office of Secretary of State. And again, I mentioned we've got great laws on the books. We've got great law enforcement officers and prosecutors. I want to enhance their ability to bring cases, to investigate, apprehend election fraud instigators by having a dedicated team of election experts who can investigate mm-hmm. voter fraud claims proactively on the ground, because much of the election fraud that occurs actually takes place before the election. We're talking absentee ballot harvesting. Mm-hmm. Florida has an election crimes division, and I would like to create a similar election crimes team within the office mm-hmm. to really enable our sheriffs and our DAs to apprehend these folks and to actually prosecute them. If people feel like they're going to get caught, then they'll be less likely to commit these fraudulent actions. Another important aspect of the office is the corporate filing division of the office. And I will reduce fees on Alabama businesses and streamline services for so many small business owners throughout this state. My parents were both small business owners. We operate a family farm, and we really need to make it accessible, guarantee same-day services to ensure that our economy can keep growing in the state.
Right. What do you think about this possibility of President Trump doing an executive order based on the Supreme Court decision the other day regarding voter ID? Because according to our Constitution, you know, you must be a U.S. citizen to vote.
That's right. And again, Alabama has been at the forefront of this with requiring voter ID, and it's shocking that that's not across the board throughout the country. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to fathom that there are states and then municipalities within states that do not require proof of citizenship. Mm-hmm. Voting is not just a right, it's a responsibility. We need active and engaged voters. But, you know, by allowing non-citizens to vote, these blue states are disenfranchising American citizens, mm-hmm. are depriving them of their voice. And so I think I will advocate for President Trump's common sense election reforms and ensure mm-hmm. that our Constitution is upheld. Fortunately, in Alabama, our own constitution, Alabama's constitution, also provides that you have to be a citizen to vote on our voter registration application. Mm-hmm. It states that you have to be a citizen and you have to provide proof of that citizenship with a driver's license or your social security number. And so, again, Alabama is on the right track. Alabama's got the common sense. We just need the rest of the nation to follow suit.
Great. Do you think President Trump can do it with a signature? Or, you know, you're a lawyer. What do you think about the possibility of that?
Well, you know, with respect to, you know, a matter of the Constitution, I think an executive order, you know, basically affirming the requirement of citizenship to vote is what we're going to have to do, because we're going to see blue states that are, again, going to continue to really thumb their nose at the Constitution. You look at, well, even Colorado, you know, Colorado was trying to get President Trump off the ballot last year.
Right.
Talk about disenfranchisement.
Right.
And so unfortunately, again, there are a lot of states out there that are not willing to uphold the Constitution and protect the voices of rightful voters, of mm-hmm. American citizens who have that right. Because, again, any non-citizen who votes diminishes the voice of American citizens.
Correct. That's right. I definitely agree with you. Now, there is an association of secretaries of state in America, right?
Yes. No, and again, I think we all became aware, I certainly did, as a young person. I was in eighth grade in the 2000 election with Bush versus Gore, and that was when I really became aware of how important that office can be. Kathleen Harris down in Florida was such a fighter for the rule of law, mm-hmm. and of ensuring that the Democrats didn't get away with voter fraud and with stealing that election. And so, you know, again, I think it is. And then obviously the 2020 election was stolen. So I think people need to be aware of just how important this office is. And every election is so incredibly important. We've got a lot of municipal elections throughout the state this August, and there is no election in which integrity and security is not first and foremost. It is fundamental to ensuring that we maintain freedom in this country. We can have good people run for office, and we can have an educated and informed and engaged electorate, but if we don't have secure elections, then we cannot guarantee the same freedom, prosperity, strength, and security mm-hmm. That we all enjoy now.
Right. What else do you? What other program do you would you like to implement as a Secretary of State?
I'm committed to ensuring same-day business services so Alabama's economy can thrive. Again, we have so many small businesses, farmers, truck drivers, and others that depend on timely and efficient services to put food on their families' tables to keep their businesses going. And so mm-hmm. I will also ensure that we have a quick turnaround, that we have accessibility for rural areas. I've pledged to reduce fees on businesses looking to operate in our state. And I want to collaborate with legislators, cabinet members, probate judges, to advocate for a common sense post-election audit legislation that will be easy to implement and again, give Alabamians confidence that when they go to vote, their vote will be heard and it will not be diminished by someone who's voting fraudulently or a non-citizen that's voting.
Mm-hmm. Now, as the Secretary of State, do you also get involved with redistricting every 10 years? After the census?
So that, the redistricting with respect to the U.S. congressional districts?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that is, the districts are drawn by the state legislature.
Okay.
So yes, we're, again, I was very interested to see the Supreme Court decision with respect to the Louisiana redistricting case. Last week, it looks like the Supreme Court will not be making any decisions about these redistricting challenges until the 2028 cycle. Mm. So it looks like the District 2 lines will remain in place for the 2026 cycle.
Okay. And that's bad, but, you know, we have to wait for that decision.
Right.
We definitely have to wait for that decision. So how is your campaign going right now, and what can we as citizens do to help you?
Well, I would first and foremost appreciate your prayers. I appreciate your vote on May 19th of next year. I'm really grateful to again get to crossed paths with so many wonderful Alabamians. It was a privilege, really, to get to meet so many wonderful, inspiring people in our state. Mm-hmm. Obviously, last year, I was really just campaigning in 13 counties, so I'm excited to get to meet even more Alabama citizens throughout all 67 counties in our state. But I would just say, certainly keep me in your prayers. If I got to know you over the course of the campaign last year and you've got friends and family, throughout the state outside of District 2, mm-hmm. Let them know about my candidacy. And then if you want to get involved, we have a website, dobsonforalabama.com. And you can also find us on social media, Dobson for Alabama. We have Facebook, Instagram, and X accounts.
Great. Now, when will you be coming down to L.A., lower Alabama region?
Well, I'm in, I guess, upper L.A. right now. I'm in Monroe County right now. But after the 4th of July, I'm actually headed down to Baldwin County on Monday and doing some campaigning there. And then we'll be all over the state. Again, would love to spend all of my time down in your way, but I've got to spend time throughout the state, and I'm definitely really looking forward to exploring some places I haven't been before.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. Well, anything we can do here, and you're always welcome to come on the air and talk to our audience. We appreciate that, and we want to give you support.
Well, thank you so much, and you have, and I'm so grateful for all of the support and encouragement that you gave me last year, and for all the volunteers and your listenership that poured their love and prayers and support over my campaign. So I would love the opportunity to serve all of you as Secretary of State in Montgomery, and I hope that I can earn your vote next May.
All right. That sounds good. So don't be a stranger, okay?
I certainly will not. Thank you.
All right, folks. This is Colleen Dobson. She's a candidate for Secretary of State for the great state of Alabama. And we're going into our next break. And, folks, we're going to be talking about some important subjects that you need to know about. We'll be back after these messages. In 30 seconds. Okay. Folks, tell others about our program, about our station, because we believe in telling the truth, and we believe in fighting those Democrats who are destroying America. They are destroying it, folks, and I'm very serious about that. I think I know a little bit more than the average person with my years in the federal government. We'll be back after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back, folks, to the George Williams Show. And our number here is 251-343-0106. We really enjoy talking to Ms. Caroline Dobson. I think she'll be a great Secretary of State. And hopefully she'll get it, folks. With your help, your vote, she will get it. She will get it. So we'll keep her in our thoughts. And the election is next year. So let's hope everything turns out all right with her. All right, before she called, I was talking about Dick Morris. And when he was talking about voter ID, and I was telling you about New Jersey and some of those other liberal states, they don't want voter ID, folks. You know why? In my opinion, there's a lot of cheating going on by those individuals who are not American citizens. A lot of cheating going on. And unfortunately, my home state, I think it's being done there. If, in my opinion, for if a city or state requires no ID, then they're cheating. They're cheating. They're open for cheating massively, folks. And you've heard President Trump talk about that. In the 2020 election, I definitely feel that there was cheating, and they cheated him out of the presidency in 2020. So I definitely feel that way. And so we need to make it a universal mandate that you must show ID and prove that you are a citizen of the United States. No if, no and, no but. And the ones who are fighting that, against that, are the Democrats. The Democrats. And you ask, and you Democrats who are listening to this broadcast, and you can give me a call and let me know why you don't think that you should be committed to show some proof in the form of ID that you are a U.S. citizen and you should be allowed to vote. You never get an answer from the Democrats. And I was telling you about my high school teammate who was the chairman of the New Jersey Democratic Party. He said, oh, no, we don't need. I said, what? How do you know citizens are voting? How do you know that? Oh, well, you know, if they say they're Americans and they're voting, then that's it. I said, John, you know better than that. You know better than that. Okay? So, in my opinion, he was justifying why they did not need ID or proof that they were United States citizens. Okay? You know why? Because they've got the elections in their palm of their hand, folks. They have them. They know who's going to win. They know who's going to win. So, and there have been cases where they've caught folks who did not have ID, who were not U.S. citizens, and they were coming in to try to vote. Okay, and someone asked me, well, we don't hear court cases. Well, let me ask you a question. If you're in a blue state, in a blue city, and you got a blue prosecutor, you think that prosecutor is going to prosecute that individual? No. No, because in my opinion, that person voted for that prosecutor. He's not gonna prosecute someone for voter fraud. You never hardly hear of prosecutors in blue state and blue cities prosecuting someone for voter fraud, even when they are caught. Okay, so, and not only voting, okay, but you have to realize, folks, that every 10 years we have a censor, okay? Now, the Democrats are calling on the censor takers to include non-U.S. citizens. That's not right. That's not right. That is not right. You know why, folks? Due to the fact that when they compile the censor's report, and if you have, say, 10 years ago, you had 100,000 people. Well, the state had 5 million people. And all of a sudden now they have 7 million people. Well, that counts, folks, towards the selection of congressional seats. So the way they tabulate these congressional seats, it's by population. population. Okay? So, you know, you may get two or three additional congressional seats. Now, you take certain states like California, you lose, they're losing congressional seats, okay? And a state like Florida gained a congressional seat. So the more residents you have in your state, the more congressional seats you have. The lesser amount, well then, you have the lesser amount of congressional seats. For example, Alabama have seven congressional seats, seven congressional districts, okay? And you take a state like California or New York, they have over 40 just in one state. And that's due to the population count, folks. That's due to the population. So the more folks you have in your state, the more congressional seats you'll have. And that's why the Democrats are calling to calling for the elimination of the Electoral College. Okay? Right now, the Electoral College says that you get so many electoral votes for that state based on your population. Okay? California have more electoral than New Mexico or than Alabama because they have more people. But you're going to need so many hundreds of electoral votes to win. Now imagine if they did it the other way. California, New York, Texas, Illinois, they would have all the votes. So they would select the new president. Okay, it's not like that. So that's why we need the Electoral College, and that's why we're not going to do away with it. But the Democrats want us to do away with the Electoral College, and that's not going to happen because it wouldn't be fair to the other states. Just those five large states will decide who should be president. We can't allow that, folks. We can't allow that. So just think about that. That, to me, that's very important. Very important. Now, let's talk about what's happening in the news today. And President Trump was down in South Florida today, and he visited the alligator infested Everglades, which it's been given the name alligator Alcatraz. Okay? Now, I know that area. I was just stationed there as a DEA special agent. And the reason I know that area is because we used to patrol it. And the drug traffickers used to come in very low, flying, and they would drop the loads out of the airplanes into the Everglades water. And then they would have boats to go and pick it up. Sort of, in my opinion now, folks, what happened with that 100 pounds of cocaine that they found the other day? I think that was brought in by boat and dropped off. So someone was supposed to pick it up. Or it could have been by air, folks. Before they landed, they dropped it off and small boats were supposed to pick it up. One of those two scenarios. That's my opinion based on my expertise in this field, okay? But anyway, getting back to alligator Alcatraz, folks, let me tell you something. That is a brilliant, brilliant idea because once you get out there, okay, and they have a small airfield out there, once they get out there and they put you on that island, that little, you can call it an island, okay? And you're there. You're there for good. There was a comedy site And they had four big alligators with ice caps on their head, and they were singing a song, and they were contracted by ICE to be the guards, okay? And this was, it was a comedy scene, and they were welcoming the illegals on the island, okay? And so it's very dangerous out there. And not only big alligators, they have some crocodiles out there too, folks. And they have some very large snakes. I used to go out there to fish a lot, okay? And I've seen some humongous snakes out there and humongous alligators out there. And let me tell you, it's not a place where you're going to leave that little island and you're going to find your way back to civilization. I can guarantee you. Now, they may, hopefully they don't have cell phones, because they may try to do like the drug traffickers do, okay? Get out there and swim a little ways and have a boat pick them up and take them. That's not going to work, folks, because they have satellites looking at that place, and they're going to have cameras all over the place. And I think that is a fine location, and I applaud Governor DeSantis, okay? Now, I didn't like when Governor DeSantis ran for president. Now, I was in South Florida, and I was part of his team to help him when he ran for governor the first time. And so I was disappointed when he ran against President Trump. But let me tell you, more and more and more, Governor DeSantis is looking like a presidential candidate. I really mean that, okay? I really mean that. And you know why I say that, folks? Because he has guts. We Republicans have to have guts. And that's why I'm so elated that President Trump has chosen these individuals for his cabinet. And they have guts. And anybody tell you they don't have guts, they're out of this world. They are out of their mind. Because Rubio, Hayset, the bulldog, Hormann, they have guts. And I like the way Governor DeSantis is conducting himself. And he is presidential material. We will be right back after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
All right, folks, welcome, welcome, welcome back. We are on a mission, and we're going to stay on that mission. One of our missions is to make sure that Mobile does not elect a Democratic mayor. And that person is Barbara Drummond, okay? We cannot afford to have a Democrat elected as the mayor of Mobile. That's Mr. Drummond, okay? You see the other two candidates, Barrett and Burnell, they dropped out of the race and gave their support to Ms. Drummond. Now, I was telling people that there were three Democrats in the race, and some people thought that one of them was a Republican. I said, no, they're not Republicans. All of them are Democrats, all of them. So Batiste dropped out, and a lot of folks thought he was a Republican. Well, if he was a Republican, why did he give his support to Barbara Drummond, who's a big-time Democrat? Burrell, in the same way. So, folks, we have to make sure that Barbara Drummond is not elected our mayor of Mobile, because ever since the last 12 years, Sandy Simpkin was the mayor, and he brought Mobile back up from Sam Jones' Sam Jones was in office for 8 years, and he really didn't do anything, in my opinion, for Mobile. Okay? So Sandy did a fantastic job, and look what's happening in Mobile, folks. I mean, there's work. More companies are coming in. Okay? If you want to work, there's a job for you. No ifs, no ands, no buts. Okay? So what I think the some of these owners of these companies are hiring a lot of illegals because I've heard they pay them a lot less money than a regular U.S. citizen. And that's why they're hiring a lot of these illegals. That's not right. That's not right. So I think the government of Alabama, and you see what the feds are doing, okay? ICE, FBI, DEA, Homeland Security, they're going around to these factories or these companies or these sites, and they're taking these people off the street. And let me tell you, you know, the Democrats sound like, oh, these folks are so innocent. They don't know, folks. They don't know, okay? And they're not telling the truth. Some of these are bad people. Now, I spent many years overseas in Africa and South America, and I can tell you, the good people normally don't try to escape from their country and come here illegally. In my opinion, it's the bad ones, folks. It's the bad ones. And then you have to look at some of these countries in South America, in Africa, in the Middle East, okay? They have come over here because of the stupidity of the last administration, the Biden administration, to open the border, okay? They have come over here, and they have opened their cells, like in the 80s, what the Cubans did, Castro did. Opened a cell for a lot of them, and when a lot of them came over, there was a lot of criminality. It increased, okay? So these are the folks, and you know, some estimate that there were 15 million, 20 million people who illegally came into our country. And a lot of folks don't know that the Biden administration was flying folks in, okay, providing transportation, air transportation, Venezuela of all countries, okay, Haiti of all countries, okay, and Trump is beginning to put a stop to that, okay, and some of these other countries, Chinese, there were thousands of Chinese that come into America. And to me, China is our number one enemy. Okay? China is. There are a lot of Muslims that came in from some of these terrorist countries, like Iran. Okay? So we have to look at all this, and we have to help. We have to help the federal authorities in getting these people out of here. And we have to stop these states from giving these individuals driver's license. If you don't speak English, you don't get a driver's license. You don't get it. Why are we giving someone driver's license that don't speak English? How can they read the signs on the road? And consequently, we are having a lot of accidents with illegals and non-English speaking, okay? What the motor vehicle folks do, they'll hire a Spanish speaker or a Creole speaker, you know, for Haitians who don't speak English, and they'll hire them at that office. They'll talk to them in their language, and they get a driver's license in English, Why should they be given a driver's license? I know when I was stationed in South America, in Brazil, I had to go for a year to learn Portuguese. and some Spanish. When I went to Africa, I had to go to the same State Department school, FSI, Foreign Service Institute, in Rosslyn, Virginia, to learn French, because there are a lot of French-speaking countries in Africa. There's some Portuguese-speaking countries in Africa. Okay? And then, naturally, a lot of English-speaking countries. So I covered 40 countries over there. All right? I had to learn. I had to learn. I had to learn how to read the signs. I had driver's license and also had a driver, but I still had to learn. Okay? Why shouldn't they? Why should we put American citizens' lives in danger by giving these folks driver's license when they're not even legal in America? And that's what's happening. And the same thing is happening in Baldwin County. Aaliyah is giving these people license. I don't understand why. I don't understand why. But I applaud. What the Trump administration is doing. I really do. And I'm so glad. I was looking at Fox News. I'm so glad that the University of Penn, Pennsylvania, is stripping this so-called, well, it's a guy, but he calls himself a woman, Leah Thomas, okay? Of all the medals that he won against women athletes, I'm so glad of that, folks. So glad of that. I'm also glad that the Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, is ordering all the he she's and she he's out of the military. I am so glad of that. My son, in 2012, joined the Marine Corps, went through OCS, Officers Candidate School in the Marine Corps, and he got his commission. And he spent 6 years in the Marines, and he got out as a captain, but he got out because the president's allowing men to be in women uniform and women to be in men uniform. He said, "Dad, if you were still in the Marine Corps, you know what? You'd probably be in the brig by now, okay? Because I know you wouldn't put up with that." And folks, it's such a distraction. And since the administration have done that, guess what? Recruitment is way up in all the military services. While they had that in effect, recruitment was down. They weren't reaching their goal in the military, their recruitment goal. Okay? They were not reaching it. But now it's up. It's up because of that change. And I can understand why. I can understand why. So, folks, it's very important what President Trump is doing to make America better. Very important. All right, we got to get the heck out of here. Until next week, everybody, va con Dios.